question of the week, and much more. Coming up on episode number 37 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. And it won't do it for me, so however you're getting this show, just stick with that. And I don't know how I'm going to fix what's going on iTunes, but whatever. If you have any questions, email me, avalanchepodcast@comcast.net, and we will get something figured out. So I apologize for that. I didn't do anything. I don't know what's going on with it, but we'll do the best with what we've got. And if you heard a sound in my last show, like a dog whining, that would have been Chipper Jones. He's our Greyhound, and he's the official mascot of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for everything Avalanche. So if you hear him whining every once in a while on the show, that's the Chipster. So, Chip, right on, dude. He's over there resting. Took him for a little walk. All right. That's what Chipper does. He rests. That's what Greyhounds do. Go get yourself a Greyhound if you want a good dog. They're good dogs. They just whine every once in a while. All right. End of the commercial there. All right. Jersey number 37s for the Avs. In their history, there were six of them. And one was Dennis Bonvy. He played one game with the Avalanche from the 2003-2004 season. And that's it. Paul Healy played in two games during the 05-06 season and had 14 penalty minutes. Thanks for coming. And Jordan Kristanovich played in, let me just do the math, 22 games in a couple different seasons. He had two assists and six penalty minutes and just didn't quite pan out like he was supposed to. He had like some jersey cards and stuff and just never worked out, so. Oh, well on that. Dean McCammond is one that's still in the league, so you might recognize him. He arrived with the Avalanche organization on October 1st, 2002, when the Avalanche traded Chris Drury and Stefan Yale to the Flames for Derek Morris, Jeff Schantz, and Dean McCammond. He played in 41 games for the Avalanche during the 2002-2003 season. He had 10 goals and 8 assists during that time. He left March 11th, 2003, when the Avalanche traded Dean McCammond to the Flames for a fifth-round pick in the 2003 draft, which turned out to be Mark McCutcheon. I don't know who that is, so that probably wasn't a very good trade. Like I said, still in the league, Dean McCammond. All right, another 37 that you all know very well, TJ Hintzik. He arrived, he's a third-round pick in the 2005 draft. Last year, he played in 31 games for the Avalanche. He had 6 goals, 5 assists, played in 2 games during the playoffs last season as well, and had 1 assist. This season, doing all right, 1 goal and I think 6 or 7 assists right around in there. Right when I took these notes, it's old news. But TJ Hintzik, we all know him. And everybody's favorite number 37, I don't think there's any argument on this, was Chris Drury. He was a third-round pick as well. Wow, third-round pick, Chris Drury. Paul Stastny, second-round pick. That's pretty good. He was a third-round pick in the 94 draft, played in 314 games for the Avalanche, had 85 goals in those 314 games. He had at least 20 goals in his four seasons, was in all four of the seasons with the Avalanche. He had 137 assists for 222 total points. In the playoffs during those four seasons, this is where he shined, 26 goals, 24 assists, 50 points in 26 games in the playoffs for the Avalanche. And he's one of those players that earned the label of clutch. And that's just not said about anybody. Chris Drury left the organization October 1st, 2002 when the Avalanche traded, same trade I mentioned earlier, Chris Drury and Stefan Yale to the Flames for Derek Morris, Jeff Schantz, and Dean McCammond. We miss Chris Drury. We wish he was still an Avalanche. I don't think there's anybody that would argue with that. Some say that the Avalanche are cursed because they traded Chris Drury, but I don't know. All I know is that I miss him. He's one of my favorite Avalanche players of all time, and I'm not the only Avalanche fan out there who thinks that way. So there's your number 37s for the Avs. And let's get on with the games. The first game that I'll cover, Monday, December 1st at the Wild. At the XL Energy Center, the Avalanche win this one in a wild one, 6-5. In the first period, 5.5 minutes in, Cody McLeod and Craig Weller get into a fight. This was a draw, not a whole lot of punches, and just one of those things that they try to get their teams going, and it didn't work for either of them. The Wild took a 1-0 lead when Pierre-Marc Bouchard scored his fourth from Mikko Koivu and Martin Skuhl at 5:50. Pierre-Marc Bouchard tipped a Koivu pass, Budaj made the save, and Bouchard got the rebound and beats Budaj high. That's an ongoing thing. You'll hear that later in the podcast as well. The Avalanche tie it up a few minutes later. Marek Fado scores his fourth of the season from John Michael Lyles and Ruslan Saleh at 9:09. And about 2.5 minutes later, the Avalanche take a 2-1 lead. David Jones scores his third of the season from Ian LaPerriere and Cody McCormick at 12:43. And pretty much David Jones all alone in front. Ian LaPerriere doing really well offensively lately, and David Jones beats Nicholas Backstrom 5-hole on the ice, and the Avalanche take a 2-1 lead. And just before the end of the period, the Wild tie it up at 2. Mikko Koivu scores his ninth of the year on the power play from Brent Burns and Pierre-Marc Bouchard at 19:11. This was after Ryan Smith's hooking penalty at 19:05 that he was not very happy with. And, I don't know, rebound in front when the shot hit a bunch of traffic in front like it does lately. And, I don't know, it wasn't even there. They weren't even done announcing the penalty. And they scored just a few seconds into the penalty. And the Avalanche go into the second period tied with the Wild at 2. And shots in the first period, the Avalanche had 11, the Wild had 5. So they score on 2 of their 5 shots in the period. Not too bad. And then Ryan Smith took an unsportsmanlike penalty when he was arguing with the official after the goal late in the first period. And Pierre-Marc Bouchard scores his second of the game, his fifth of the year on the power play from Marc-Andre Bergeron and Marek Zidlicky at 22 seconds. Ryan Smith, I like his fire, but sometimes it goes a little too far. Nice pass from Bergeron to Bouchard, who was directing the puck in the slot, and Hannon basically kicked the puck, and he didn't really mean to, but the Wild take a 3-2 lead. About 3.5 minutes later, Paul Stastny scores his fifth of the season to tie it up at 3. Brian Wilson and Milan Hayduk with the helpers on that one. 3:49 in the second period. Nice backhand over Nicholas Backstrom's glove off a rebound, and the Avalanche tie it up. And at 8:16 in the second period, the Avs take a 4-3 lead when Milan Hayduk scored his 10th of the season on the power play from Paul Stastny. A giveaway by Nick Schultz along the near boards. Puts it right on Milan Hayduk's stick. And that's from Milan Hayduk's range. He's cash money from there. The Avalanche take a 4-3 lead. About 8 minutes later, the Avalanche take a 5-3 lead when TJ Hensick scores his first of the season from Ian LaPerriere at 16:32. Ian LaPerriere got the puck from Pierre-Marc Bouchard, who lost it at the Avalanche blue line, backhanded a pass to TJ Hensick at the Wild blue line. He turned on the Jets. Marc-Andre Bergeron went for the steal and got burned. Puck got by him. TJ Hensick shows off the speed and breaks in to beat Backstrom 5-hole, and the Avalanche take a 5-3 lead. And there was a shot of Nicholas Backstrom after the goal, and he looked totally shell-shocked, and you don't see that very often, so that was kind of fun to see. And then a minute 20 later, the Avalanche take a 6-3 lead. Paul Stastny scores his second of the game, his sixth of the season, from Ryan Smith and Milan Hayduk at 17:51. Ryan Smith beats Marek Zidlicky with a toe drag one-on-one and got hooked, got pulled down as well. Paul Stastny picks up the puck on the rebound and beats Nicholas Backstrom off his water bottle, and he once again says, "Are you thirsty? Let me get that for you." The Avalanche take a 6-3 lead. And then old Nordique, Owen Nolan, the Avalanche give up another late goal in this period. The Avalanche, old Avalanche Nordique player, Owen Nolan, scores his fifth of the season on the power play from Andrew Brunette, Mikko Koivu, 19:18. Nice pass to Nolan in the slot from behind the net. And Nicholas Backstrom was actually pulled after the intermission. That was the end of the scoring in the second period. The Avalanche shots in the period had 15, and the Wild only had 7. In the third period, there was only one goal, and this made it 6-5. Brent Burns scores his fourth of the season from Kim Johnson at 14 minutes. Burns drives to the net and just basically powers his way, and he didn't kick the puck, but why even shoot if they're going to count this stuff as a goal? He wasn't checked in the boot eye for sure, and like I said, why try and shoot when you can just kick, not necessarily kick the puck in, but just run over everybody, including the goalie, and the puck ends up in the net, whatever, doesn't matter. That was the end of the scoring. The Avalanche win this one in a Wild one, 6-5. The Wild put in the puck a couple seconds after the horn sounded, but it obviously didn't count. Nicholas Backstrom stopped 20 of 26 shots and was pulled after the second period. Josh Harding came in the third and stopped all 5 shots that he saw. Peter Budaj, a disappointing performance, but the Avalanche, they're okay. Peter Budaj stops 12 of 17 shots. Not a good save percentage, but a win is a win. The Wild are 3-for-4 on the power play, and out of 6 minutes possible on their power play, it only took them a minute 24 to actually score 3 goals. Very efficient. At least you don't have to watch them move the puck around. They just score real quick and move on with life. The Avalanche were 1-for-3 on the power play. Notables for each team, Ian LaPerriere had 2 assists. Paul Stastny, 2 goals and assists and 7 shots. TJ Hensick had a goal and 5 shots. Brent Burns with a goal and assist and a tackle of Peter Budaj. Mikko Koivu had a goal and 2 assists. Pierre-Marc Bouchard, 2 goals, an assist, and 4 shots. This was an unwild-like game. And the Avalanche take advantage of a rare sloppy game by a usually very disciplined and very, tough Wild team. So it was good to see him take advantage of that. This was the Wild's first loss in franchise history. 70 games in their history, they've scored five or more goals, and they've won every single one of those except for one. So the Avalanche, Monday, December 1st, beat the Minnesota Wild 6-5 at XL Energy. Thursday, December 4th at the Summit Center, the Avalanche lost at the Predators 3-2. Peter Budaj, 30 seconds in the game, made a great save on J.P. Dumont to keep the game scoreless. And early, Jordan Tutu takes a run at Brian Wilsey, who goes to the locker room, and we haven't seen him since. I'll talk about Jordan Tutu in a second here. The Predators take a 1-0 lead, 5:13 in the first period. Vernon Fiddler scores his third of the year from Ville Koistinen. Pass split from his own blue lines. Ruslan Soleil badly misplays it. Haynes and McNabb obviously say nothing about this because that's not how they roll. But the puck takes kind of a strange bounce right to Fiddler, and he beats Peter Budaj glove side with a backhand, and the Predators take a 1-0 lead. 8 minutes and 45 seconds in, the Avalanche get a minute and 55 5-on-3 after Dan Hamhuis takes a tripping penalty, and Greg DeVries takes a delay of game penalty 5 seconds later. And during that, the Avalanche score. Ryan Smith scores his eighth of the season on the power play from Ruslan Soleil Milan Hayduk at 9:03. It's a one-timer from point Ryan Smith. Creating havoc in front, tips the puck by Pekarinen. I like that name, Pekarinen. And the Avalanche tied up at 1. About 11.5 minutes into the first period, Jordan Tutu checks Daniel Tarnquist from behind into the boards in the Av zone. Jordan Tutu falls over to make it look like he didn't do what he did. Ian LaPerriere tries to get him to go with him, and Tutu absolutely refuses. And Ian LaPerriere takes a cross check and takes an unsportsmanlike for taking his gloves off. And here's my issue with Tutu. If you're going to play a big boy game, you need to act like a big boy. He's known for this. Ian LaPerriere gets, like I said, a couple penalties. And Jordan Tutu, after he knocks one player out of the game for a run, and then almost knocks another out of the game knocked another Avalanche player out of the game. I don't know. I think he needs to go with somebody and just be held accountable for what he's doing. If you're going to knock people out of the game and hurt them, that's part of the hockey code. I'll talk about that a little later with John Zeiler, who I earned some respect for. 12:36, a little bit after this, into the first period, the Predators take a 2-1 lead. Shea Weber scores his 12th of the season from a defenseman on the power play from Ville Koistinen and J.P. Dumont, 12:36, like I said. The one-timer hits Brett Clark in the hand and on the way to the net, and the biggest reason why Tutu wouldn't go, I think, is Shea Weber on the power play. You knew he had a power play. Now, Jordan Tutu's trying to cut down on his penalties as well, but you just got to do what you got to do in hockey sometimes. And I lost a lot of respect for Jordan Tutu. I like that he plays the game hard, but there's playing the game hard and playing the game right and playing the game clean are very different things. So Jordan Tutu is my new least favorite player in the NHL, even more than Dion Phaneuf, and that's saying something. Wojtek Volski actually ties up the game 16:22 into the first period. Scores his fifth of the season shorthanded from Cody McCormick. This was the first shorthanded goal of the season for the Avalanche. This was a miscue on a pass within the Preds zone. McCormick steals the pucks, gets it to Volski, and beats Rene high glove side. And the Avalanche tie the game up late in the first period. But even later in the first period, David Legwand scores his. I didn't put down the notes here. Whoops, sorry. Legwand scored 19:59, gives the Preds a 3-2 lead, beats Budaj short side. And this changes the entire rest of the game. The Avalanche, 6 shots in the first period, and they score on 2 of them. The Preds score on 3 of their 11 shots. And that was the end of the scoring, which was kind of disappointing. And the late goal in the first period changed the entire game. That's just what happens, those late goals like that. And pretty boring the rest of the time. One thing that I did write down is I can't decide whether the atmosphere at the Summit Center in Nashville is like a minor league playoff game or a college hockey game. Or a football game. Joe at Mile High Hockey says people, the fans that are there look like they are people who had gotten lost on their way to a NASCAR race. And, you know, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but it sure doesn't sound like a hockey game in there. It sounds like something else. So people that have gone to games there have said the same thing. So I don't know. If I have the choice, I think I'll watch it on TV if I have a chance to go to Nashville and watch. But we'll see. Second period, the Avalanche get a power play late. They do a nice job on the penalty kill. Oh, there was a nice job on the PK by the Predators, but the Avalanche never even come close to a shot, which is kind of disappointing. And in the third period, Brett Clark dumps Jordan Tutu after a dump in the zone, which was good to see. And the Avalanche have a power play about 12 minutes in, not much going on there at all. And like I said, this game ends at 3-2. Peter Budaj stops 21 of 24 shots. Pekka Rinne stops 19 of 21 shots. Paul Stastny, the only notable for the Avalanche, with 4 shots. Ville Koistinen, 2 assists. Shea Weber, a goal and 3 shots. David Legault, a goal and 5 shots. And J.P. Dumont, an assist and 3 shots. On the power play, the Avalanche were 1 for 4. Nashville was 1 for 6. I went on quite a rant after this game and have a bunch of stuff. You know, the Avalanche is just bipolar this year, and I think I'll go back to these notes that they keep doing what they're doing, but I think I'll save you the time now. And we'll just move on to game number 3. Thursday, December 4th, the Avalanche lose at the Summit Center. December 5th at Dallas at the American Airlines Arena. The Avalanche lose this one in a shootout 2-1. The first thing I noticed in the first period is I'm kind of shocked because the crowd in Dallas is, I don't know whether people just come late there or what, but it is small. These are two organizations that are dealing with kind of the same issues. They have a proud past, and their greatest players are getting a little bit older, and their goaltending is struggling, and man, I don't know. It's very similar. I know how those fans feel. Let's just put it that way. The Avalanche kill 3 penalties during the period and a late power play after Stastny goes straight to the net on a 3-on-2 and drew a penalty. More of that, please, Paul Stastny. Straight to the net, show off that speed. First period is scoreless. We go to the second period. Marek Svatos hits the crossbar about 6 minutes into the period, kind of a bad break for the Avalanche. Less than 2 minutes after that, the Stars take a 1-0 lead. Toby Peterson scores his 3rd of the year for Mike Modano and Trevor Daley at 7:57. This was a great tip straight down off a shot. No chance for Peter Budaj on this one. And there's just really not much to talk about in the second period as well besides the goal. In the third period, left pad saved by Peter Budaj on Toby Peterson's backhand. Keeps it a 1-goal game early. Peter Budaj playing strong lately. The Avalanche show a little more urgency through the first half of the third period and get some scoring chances, which is something we'd like to get used to. The Avalanche finally show that they can play and how they can play in the third period, and I'm looking for this type of effort all the time, please. That'd be nice. 19:55 into the third period, us Avalanche fans get excited because Marek Svatos scores his, I didn't write it down. Boy, am I sloppy this show. He scores one of his many goals this season. I want to say 6, but that's just a guess. From Paul Stastny and Ryan Smith, the Avalanche get a break when Jordan Leopold's shot was tipped and doesn't go out of play. It actually hit the very top. Everybody kind of gave up on it, but it hit the very top of the glass, and everything was cool. Ryan Smith got the puck to Stastny behind the net. Stastny passed to Svatos, who beat Turco over his right shoulder, and the Avalanche late score to tie it up. One thing about this Avalanche team the last few seasons is that they definitely don't give up when they're down late in a game. We like the comebacks. They're very exciting, but we'd rather have them score and hold a lead. That'd be even more fun. A little back and forth during the overtime period, but nothing too major. So we go to the shootout. Brad Richards, first shooter in the shootout, blocker or right pad saved by Budaj. It was hard to tell, but nonetheless, it doesn't go in. And then, of course, Wojtek Wolski scores. He gives the Avalanche a 1-0 lead in the shootout. It's a little backhand, a forehand move. Wolski makes good goaltenders, and the moderate goaltenders just look plain silly on this move. You know it's silly when Turco ends up on his stomach totally outside the crease with his left skate in Volsky's crotch. Yeah, you'd call that a good move. Fabian Brunstrom, that's how they say it there, had glove save on Brunstrom's backhand by Peter Budaj to keep it 1-0. Marek Svatos then misses wide and high with a wrister, and then Mike Ribeiro for the Stars ties it up at 1 in the shootout with a deke and a forehand past Peter Budaj's blocker. Milan Hajduk had a right pad save, actually stopped by Marty Turco with the right pad save, and then the Stars took a 2-1 lead with Mike Modano scoring in the shootout at Peter Budaj with a great wrister over his glove, and then Ryan Smith gets saved, a nice stick save by Marty Turco, and the Avalanche lose this one 2-1 in the shootout. With the 1-0 score and Brunstrom's save, the Avalanche actually had 3 straight chances to win the shootout. Between Svatos, well, let's see, Hajduk's, I don't know how this worked. Hajduk could have scored. A save by Budaj would have won it. I don't know. But they blew 3 straight chances to win the shootout, and they lose to the last-place team in conference coming off a Steve Avery hangover. I'm not going to talk about Steve Avery. You've probably heard all about it, but not a very good place to be right now in Dallas. They're struggling big time with the Avalanche going there and lose 2-1 and really don't show up except for the third period. Peter Budaj, pretty strong, 23 saves on 24 shots. And Marty Turco, 26 of 27. He stops. Turco struggling lately, but looked pretty good in this game. But the Avalanche really didn't test him that much either. Brett Clark during this game was credited with 6 block shots. Paul Stastny, a goal and 7 shots. Tyler Arneson, 5 shots. I like mentioning him during the notables. Marek Svatos had a goal and 3 shots. Darryl Sador for the Stars, 6 block shots. Toby Peterson had a goal and 4 shots. And James Neal was credited with 5 shots during this game. Both teams 0 for 3 in this game. And like I said, I'm just looking for a full 3-period effort by these Avalanche, by this Avalanche team and the organization. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So let's just move on. Friday, December 5th, the Avalanche lose at American Airlines. I'm your host, JV, and this is episode number 37. This is the fourth game that I'll cover in this podcast. I hope you like the music in between the games. I don't want to talk in your ear off the whole time and talk the first 25 minutes of the show. So I tried to split it up a little bit with some help from my co-producer, Kevin Rebow. So I don't know. I hope you like it. Sunday, December 7th, the Avalanche played the Canucks at Pepsi Center and won this one in a pretty wild game as well in the shootout, 5-4. In the first period, Vancouver takes a 1-0 lead on Darcy Hordichuk's second of the year from Jason Jaffrey. And Yannick Hansen at 2, I almost said Janik, it's Yannick. Yannick Hansen, the Avalanche go down 1-0, 2:17 in the game. Shots in the first period, the Avalanche had 9, the Canucks had 13. In the second period, the Avalanche 5:14 in, tied up on David Jones's 4th of the season, unassisted. What a great individual effort on this. And we're actually lately seeing some of the promise lately as he continues to gain some confidence, and just a great picture in my head of him being parallel to the ice as he tips this puck by, Corey Schneider. Yeah, that's his name. And the Avalanche tied up. And then a little over halfway through the period, 11:25 in the second period, Ryan Smith scores his 9th of the year to give the Avalanche a 2-1 lead. Milan Hayduk and Paul Stastny with the helpers on that. Great transition game. Hayduk drops the puck back to Smith, who beats Canucks goalie Corey Schneider with a big one-timer. And the Avalanche take a 2-1 lead. 15:49 of the second period, Daniel Sedin scored his 12th from Ryan Kessler and Willie Mitchell at, like I said, 15:49 to tie the game up. Too many rebound chances. I believe the Canucks announcer said he had 4 chances on this one. Way too many. If the defense will work just a little bit harder with Peter Budaj to get the rebounds out of there, things would go a lot better, I promise. A minute 56 later, Vancouver takes a 3-2 lead with Steve Bernier with his 6th of the year on the power play from Mason Raymond and Pavel Demitra at 17:45. This was another rebound that seemed to sit there forever, and the Canucks take a 3-2 lead. If you thought the first period was full of shots, try the second period. Vancouver had 16 shots, and the Avalanche had 12 shots in this period. As my dad would say, and my good buddy Garrett would say, where's the D? All right, in the third period, 2:50 in. The Avalanche tied up at 3. Milan Hayduk scores his 11th. Nothing new to score against the Canucks for Milan Hayduk. I have numbers for you in a little bit. Jordan Leopold and Paul Stastny with the assists on that. The initial shot was blocked by a Canucks defenseman, and the Avalanche finally get some love on a rebound. Milan Hayduk picks up the rebound and beats Corey Schneider with a wrister. With the wrister, and the Avalanche tied up at 3. 5 minutes into the third period, John Michael Lyles with a big hip check on Taylor Pyatt during the Avalanche power play. Kind of looked like Rob Blake there for a second and created a scoring chance. The Avalanche are kind of take some pride in having some offensive defensemen, but guys like a Chris Pronger, Zdeno Chara, Rob Blake, very nice. Ooh, Dion Phaneuf. Nice to have those guys that everybody's always thinking about in the back of their mind, just wondering if they're coming, and it gets people to hesitate. So I don't think John Michael Lyles is going to play that game all year, but it sure was cool to see it once. The Canucks take a 4-3 lead when Steve Bernier scores his 2nd of the game and 7th of the year from Alex Burrows and Kevin Bieks at 9:57. This is a one-timer in the slot that beat Peter Budaj, and the Canucks take a 4-3 lead at that point. About 17 minutes into the third period, Pavel Demitra has a chance to clear the puck. It's blocked by Paul Stastny. The puck goes to Milan Hayduk, who passes back at the point, and then Daniel Carnquist scores his 2nd of the season for Milan Hayduk and Paul Stastny at 17:10. The Avalanche battle back, like I said before, and they tie the game 4-4. In the overtime period, a couple highlights. Steve Bernier hits the post on a backhand with a chance for the game-winning goal and a hat trick. And then with 10 seconds left in the overtime period, this was interesting. Canucks defenseman Alex Edler grabs the puck about his own blue line and goes right past everybody and actually gets a pretty good scoring chance. Wojtek Wolski was the forward playing little defense, and I stress little defense, on Alex Edler. Tarnquist, who was actually, he was a little out of position, but he was actually trusting Wolski to play a little defense, and he really didn't. And he gets one last scoring chance that doesn't get by Peter Budaj. The Avalanche kind of lucky there. And then the Avalanche go to the shootout, and we start with Wojtek Wolski, and he does the same move. His backhand to the forehand, and he is 5 for 5 on the shootouts this season. And I'm trying to find a name for that move. The one move I've seen him use is the Peter Forsberg leave behind poster stamp. I think somebody else has used it before Forsberg, but that's how I remember it at least. I was trying to come up with names, got a few ideas. I think the best name that I heard was for the kind of the backhand to the forehand move that gets the goalie sliding and ends up with skates in his crotch and stuff. We're going to call that move automatic. That'll work. The Canucks tie it up at 1 in the shootout. Kyle Wellwood beats Budaj high glove side with a great shot. Marek Svatos then comes up and gives the Avalanche a 2-1 lead. He fakes the forehand, freezes Schneider, and then scores on the backhand. Pavel Dimitra was next for the Canucks in the shootout. He was stopped by Peter Budaj, and then the Avalanche took a 3-1 win with Milan Hayduk. Similar move to Svatos, scores on the backhand, and the Avalanche win the shootout 3-1. Corey Schneider, 31 of 35 shots stopped. Peter Budaj, 34 saves on 38 shots. Notables, there's plenty. High-scoring game. Kevin Bieksa. An assist and 3 shots and 4 hits. Ryan Kessler, an assist and 3 shots. Steve Bernier, 2 goals and 7 shots. Daniel Sedin, a goal and 5 shots. Pavel Dimitra had an assist and 4 shots, but he was also minus 3 for the game, so kind of rough on the defensive end for him. Milan Hayduk scores a goal, has 2 assists. Paul Stastny, 3 assists. Daniel Tarnquist, a goal and 3 shots. And Ryan Smith, a goal and 6 shots. The attendance during this game, 13,411. The smallest crowd ever at Pepsi Center. Kind of disappointing to see that, but it's the sign of the times and how the Avalanche are playing as well. The Avalanche win their 8th straight game versus Vancouver over the last 2 seasons. Milan Hayduk scores his 34th goal against the Canucks in 57 career games. He is a Canuck killer. All right, and let me tell you a little more about the best free skate in free skate history. So that Sunday, December 7th, my sister works for a local credit union, and it is credit union night at the Avalanche game. We get club-level seats. Let's see. A chance to go on the bench during warm-ups, which didn't work out, but that's okay. But the best part of it, free skate on Pepsi Center ice before the game from 2 to 3. So they have the Avalanche, they have the Broncos-Chiefs game going on the Jumbotron while I'm skating around on the ice with about maybe, five or six other people. It was really cool. Just a really cool experience. The game was great, obviously. The Avalanche win the shootout. This was my sister's first shootout. She was really excited, and just a really cool night. So I had the ice to myself for like 3 or 4 minutes. Man, that was cool. And they don't rent out skates, and not a ton of people own their own skates. So it was a really, really, really neat experience for me. And my sister was excited for me. And it was a great birthday present for her, from her to me. And just they're going to try to do it again in the spring, and I'll be there. So that was awesome. So that's about it for this game. Episode number 37, game number 4. Sunday, December 7th, the Avalanche beat the Canucks at Pepsi Center in a shootout. Bye. All right, the last game that I'll cover, finally, episode number 37. Game number 5, Tuesday, December 9th, the Avalanche beat the Kings at Pepsi Center. Let me rephrase that. They demolished the Kings at Pepsi Center. 6-1 victory for the Avs in this one. The Avs take an early lead. Marek Svatos scores his 6th of the season from Tyler Arneson and Ruslan Soleil at 3:28. Ruslan Soleil's shot goes wide, goes off the boards, hits Matt Green dead in the mouth. He gets stitches for that one and hits a bunch more people and then goes in. They give Svatos credit, whoever, doesn't really matter. The Avalanche at this point were 6-2 when they scored the first goal of the game. That's always good news. All right, now here's why I like John Zeiler better than Jordan Tutu, if I can have to say like in the sentence with either of those two in it. But 3:29 in the game, Ian LaPerriere, John Zeiler get into a fight. Ian LaPerriere lines up right next to him and really doesn't even worry about, he's just worried about when the puck drops. Wasn't really interested in playing the puck at all. But John Zeiler, takes responsibility for what he did. He feels bad about what happened to, Adam Foote. And that was it. And that's why I love hockey. Lappy takes care of what he needs to do. John Zeiler knows what he needs to do. And that's what I wish Jordan Tutu would do a little bit more of. And that was the end of it. No more tension, no more anything. Everybody knows it's coming, and everybody's cool with it. 25 seconds later, the Avalanche take a 2-0 lead. 25 seconds later after the fight, Milan Hayduk scores his 12th of the year from Paul Stastny and Ryan Smith at 3:53. Good work by the line to give Stastny and Smith some space, and Stastny's rebound finds Hajduk alone in the slot, and he finishes. And this also extended the assist on this goal, extended Ryan Smith's point streak to 5 games, which is great. And then the Avalanche take a 3-0 lead. Cody McLeod scores his 4th of the season from Cody McCormick and TJ Hensick at 11:44. McLeod with a big hit on Derek Armstrong along the near boards in the corner there. It leaves Armstrong in a heap. He actually left the game and never returned. In the meantime, the puck found its way to Cody McCormick in the slot. The rebound gets to McLeod, who backhanded the puck past Jason LaBarbera. The Avalanche take a 3-0 lead in the first period. Shots in the first period, the Avalanche had 11, and 3 out of the 4 lines in the first period scored a goal. That's always good news. In the second period, things keep going plenty early. The Avalanche take a 4-0 lead. Ryan Smith scores his 10th of the season on the power play from TJ Hensick and John Michael Lyles. Hensick shows great patience behind the net and hits Smith alone in the slot. The Avalanche take a 4-0 lead. And then 2.5 minutes later, the Avalanche take a 5-0 lead. Cody McLeod scores his 2nd of the game, 5th of the year. This was his first multi-goal game in his career. Tyler Arneson, Chris Stewart with the helpers on that, 4:48 into the second period. Chris Stewart stole the puck from Jason LaBarbera behind the net. Tyler Arneson passes. I thought it was a hand pass. I wouldn't have had any problem if they would have whistled that down. Got it to McLeod, who finished and got mugged by Rytus Ivanens after this. Cody McLeod celebrates in the penalty box, pumps his fist a little bit, and you don't see that very often. A guy who scores a goal and goes straight to the penalty box, but we'll definitely take it. This was Chris Stewart's first NHL point, and it's also, as a note here, it's much easier to talk stuff to a guy. This is Ivanens, by the way, 6'4", 256. It's much easier to talk to a guy that big when the glass is between you and him. Cody McLeod said he had no plans on going with Ivanens. Really, not a whole lot of people do. But he'd rather score goals and talk stuff. I'm cool with that. Chris Stewart, 11:18 in the second period, gives the Avalanche a 6-0 lead. A shorthanded goal from Jordan Leopold, his first of his career. Chris Stewart's goal, a breakaway rebound, would have been a penalty shot on Kopitar's quote-unquote hook. I'm not sure about this. If you've seen the replay, check it out again. They called him for either a hook or a slash on Jay Kopitar, I'm talking about, and they're just waiting for somebody to touch somebody on a breakaway like that. And anyways, Chris Stewart is first of his career. The Avalanche take a 6-0 lead. 44 seconds later, the Kings battle back just a little bit, 6-1. Oscar Moeller scores a power play goal, his 5th power play goal of the season, his 6th goal overall from Alexander Frolov and Patrick O'Sullivan at 12:02. This beat Budaj underneath his right arm after some good puck movement by the Kings on the power play. And that brings them within 5 goals. I love saying that when the Avalanche are winning. In the third period, there wasn't a whole lot going on. Basically, they should have canceled the rest of the game after the second period. That's what I wrote down. Jason LaBarbera, 20 saves on 26 shots. Peter Budaj, 29 of 30. On the power play, both teams are 1-for-4. Notables, Peter Harreld for the Kings, 5 shots. Dustin Brown had 4 shots. And for the Avalanche, Brett Clark and Scott Hannon, both a +4. TJ Hensick and Tyler Arneson with 2 assists. Chris Stewart had a goal assist and 5 shots. Cody McLeod, 2 goals and 4 shots. And Ryan Smith, a goal assist and 3 shots. This was the Avalanche's 4th straight home win, season high for them. And they are 5-1 in their last 6 home games. So that's good news. Great performance by the Avalanche in this one. Fun to watch them just kind of take control of a game early and just never really let it go. I'd like to see more of that, definitely. So finally, that's it for all the games that I've covered in this podcast. That's up to this date. I'll be right back with lots more details. A lot more after that. From the beginning of this podcast to the end, you'll notice a difference in my voice. I'll explain that much later. All right, here's your news and notes for episode number 37. On December 3rd, Avalanche announced that Captain Joe Sakic will be out at least 6 weeks while he recovers, while he receives treatment for a herniated disc in his back. I'd love to tell you that's the last time I'm going to talk about him, but it's not. So we'll bring up Joe here in a second. Also on December 3rd, the Avalanche announced that their prospect, Kevin Shattenkirk, was selected to the U.S. National Junior Team. And he'll represent Team USA at the 2009 IIHF World Junior Championship starting December 26th through January 5th in Ottawa. Little information on Shattenkirk, in case you didn't know, he was the Avalanche's first-round draft pick, 14th overall in the 2007 entry draft, and is currently a sophomore at Boston University. And apparently he's the real deal. I got to watch him a little bit actually last night in their game against the Czech Republic, and he looks like a right-handed John Michael Lyles when he's skating well. He had a couple power play assists. I believe he has 3 assists in the tournament so far. So he's also named one of the alternate captains, which is a big deal. So hopefully Shattenkirk can have a good career for as long as he wants to stay at BU and then come join the Avalanche. He's welcome anytime he wants to come. December 4th against Predators, Brian Wilsey left the Predators game early in the first period with a knee injury after Jordan Tutu ran him, and he didn't return. I haven't heard a whole lot about this injury. I know he's on the IR. I know he's kind of skating on his own right now, but Brian Wilsey definitely out for a while, obviously, that we knew. December 5th, the Avalanche recalled Chris Stewart from Lake Erie in the AHL. He was the Avalanche's first-round draft pick in 2006. He had 11 points in 19 games this season with the Monsters and has shown some pretty good promise, so that's good. A little power forward action for the Avalanche is always good. All right, December 9th in the game against the Kings, with a second-period assist on Ryan Smith's goal, John Michael Lyles tied Jeff Brown for fifth place all-time on the Nordiques Avalanche franchise all-time defenseman scoring list with 170 points. Stanis Ozilinch is first on the list with 253 points. So Adam Foote is next on the points list. He's going to have to pick up his offensive game, which he doesn't need to do, but that's all right. Also with a second-period assist on Cody McLeod's second goal of the game, Chris Stewart recorded his first NHL point, and just a little bit later, with a second-period goal, Chris Stewart scored his first NHL goal. So, first multi-point night and first goal and first assist for Chris Stewart. So, welcome to the big club. Hope you're here for a while, Chris Stewart. Jordan Leopold played in his 303rd career NHL game, and Marek Svatos left the game. Well, those are all good news. Here's your bad news. Marek Svatos left the game in the second period with a lower back injury and didn't return. He actually didn't return until the game the other night. It wasn't last night, night before. I'll describe in the next show, but Marek Svatos out for a while, but he's back now. December 10th, the Avalanche announced that, hey, it's Joe Sakic again. Captain Joe Sakic will be out 3 months after breaking 3 fingers and sustaining tendon damage after a snowblower accident at his house on Tuesday, December 9th. I don't know which way to go with this one. I'm not quite sure why he's snowblowing, but you have to do something. You can't just sit on your butt. You have to be a regular person. I know he beat himself up, literally and figuratively, for doing this. And, you know, maybe it'll give his back a chance to heal, but very disappointing for all of us, but, you know, whatever. He's going to be out 6 weeks anyway, so we'll see how it goes. On December 11th, the Avalanche recalled center Philippe Dupuis from the Lake Erie Monsters in the AHL. Dupuis is 23 years old, had 4 goals and 4 assists in 20 games for the Monsters this season. He was acquired last season from the Blue Jackets in the Mark Rycroft deal. Mark Rycroft, in case any of you are wondering and don't have the Avalanche altitude feed, he's now doing color commentary, so that's how Mark Rycroft did. He played for the Syracuse Crunch for a little bit, and that was about it. Let's see. December 11th as well, the Avalanche made their annual visit to Children's Hospital. A lot of press this season. The Avalanche usually don't like the press when it comes to this, but this season they did do it. I think they're trying to boost some ticket sales, but it's also good to know what they're doing. Very classy. They all come with their jerseys and Santa hats. They hand out autographs. They really lift the spirits of everybody there. If you listened to my show last year, my mom was a nurse at Children's Hospital for many years, and she said whenever they would be there, it would just be, they're very well coached on what to say and how to interact with the kids, and they just love it. And the kids love it, and it's a good thing for everybody. So happy holidays from the Avalanche. And all right, December 12th, the Avalanche, according to Adrian Dater's blog, Daniel Tarnquist will be scratched during the, don't worry about that one. That's out of date. All right, that's the end of the news and notes section of episode number 37, the Chris Jury edition of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for everything Avalanche. I'll be back with a question of the week from, almost a month ago. The response from the question of the week. We'll have a new question of the week for you. We'll have that in the next podcast. So stick with us. It's all good. We'll be right back. Final segment of episode number 37 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for everything Avalanche. I'm your host, JV. It's Chris Jury. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for sticking with my disorganization, for not posting the show for a while. It'll all make sense. I'll explain a little bit at the end of the next show. But otherwise, question of the week responses. What do our Avs do now was my question of the week on November 30th or November 29th. And it was just more of what the heck's going on and what can be done. So Lord Stanley started off, as he usually does. He says, as I mentioned in a previous post, I would like to see Backstrom with the Wild get a look. How cool would that, this is me talking here, not Lord Stanley, but how cool would that be? Back to Lord Stanley. He has proven himself to be a solid player, and I think his contract is up at the end of the year. They'll probably try to get something for him now since he will be looking for a big contract in July. Other than that, I think we need one more top flight forward. We need just one consistent goal scorer. I'm not sure who that is or who's available, but I know Marian Hossa is a free agent again after this year. So I think the Avalanche will have some money. A big-time goal scorer that we can depend on, maybe, I don't know, 40 goals. That sure would be nice. 40, 50 goals. Well, 50 doesn't come along very often. 35. We'll take 35. But thank you, Lord Stanley. Earl Schubi from Regensburg, Germany, said, Hossa and Zetterberg are going to be free agents during next summer, but I do not think that one of them will join Colorado as they both played for Colorado's biggest rival. That makes sense to me, Earl. And he also mentioned that the to our situation now, we are 2 points behind the playoff spot. That's not bad. But to improve, we might say hello to the Maple Leafs. Their new GM, Brian Burke, dislikes European players and favors North Americans, so there might be some big trades. So he mentioned some of the players for the Maple Leafs. In exchange for North American player, Darcy Tucker, Ian LaPerriere, Tyler Arneson, Scott Hannon, McCormick, I think anything can happen. So thank you, Earl, for that. Avs in 08 then chimed in, said, well, either a coaching or a trade must happen. Granato just doesn't do it for me, sorry. But maybe the players need to be reminded that their jobs in Denver aren't irreplaceable. Even a trade in which we don't really win or lose may be worth it, just something to wake us up a little bit. And I kind of agree with this one. I'm kind of interested to see, especially after Joe Sakic and Paul Stastny going down, which I'll cover in the next show, what exactly they do. I don't know. Sounds like a new question of the week or the question of the podcast. Laura Stanley then said, I can't disagree with that reasoning. A shakeup of some sort is in need. Adam Foot Clan then said, I've always been an advocate that no job is safe. I do believe that another consistent scorer is needed. To me, it's kind of disheartening to see the drop-off compared to last year. As was noted during the previous question of the week, we essentially still have the same team as last year, and it seems that the injury bug is still sitting on our bench as well. It just seems so hard to believe that the same team that was able to keep us afloat while so many people were out last year can't seem to do it again in the same situation. That is true. I think we're all tired of the injuries. And then Avs in 08 said, this team can be so frustrated sometimes, can it? And I think that pretty much says the whole thing. This question of the week is actually still going, and I think it's still an ongoing thing, and just a little place to rant, but also give your ideas. Granato, I keep going back and forth on him. I'm just not quite sure if this is the type of, I don't know, sometimes he just doesn't look that confident. He just doesn't look that passionate. I know he's very passionate, but I don't know if that resonates on those players, but it is what it is. Just got to be patient. The Avalanche are playing pretty well with all the injuries they have right now, but it's basically been one game since Paul Stastny went down, but I guess we'll really get an idea about 10, 15 games later exactly how well things are going, and I definitely think a big goal scorer would be great, but those are not easy to find, so very frustrating, as Avs in 08 said. And he basically summed up the whole thing. So thanks a lot for your response of the week, guys, to the question of the week. I really appreciate that. Let me tell you about a couple friends, and I'll be done for this show, and I'll finally post it. Sorry about the delay. Friends of the show, the Avscast with Chris Zeal, is on sabbatical right now. So I think I'm your only option as far as Avalanche podcasts, and I'll do my best with what I've got. AvalancheTalk.com forum, come see us there and definitely get involved in the conversation. We'd love to have more people. If you need an Avalanche blog, come check on my page, avshockeypodcast.podomatic.com. You can definitely get any Avalanche blog I think that's worthwhile. And a lot of my friends are on there that I've been able to get to know throughout my time as a podcaster. So I'll definitely encourage you to come check out my page and then go visit some of the blogs through some of the links that I have on the blog roll on the right side of the page. You can email me anytime you want, avalanchepodcast@comcast.net. If you want to respond to the question of the podcast, question of the week, let me know. And let me know how you like the show. Let me know how where you're listening from. I'd love to hear from you. It's just interesting to get all those details. And avalanche.nhl.com for the play of the week and much more. Go check out the Avalanche official site. I think you'll like it there. They've made some changes this season that I really like. So, all right, that's the end of episode number 37. Sorry again about the delay. I'll explain just a little bit at the end of the next show that I post here really, really soon. But until then, take care. I'll see you guys next time. Yeah, so.